Good morning, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Hope everyone is doing well on this fine Thursday morning, wherever you are in the world, because that's who we are dedicated to, Packers fans around the world, worldwide. It's how we roll. Morning to everybody in the comments section. Good to see everybody already chopping it up. Very important tip, PSA, Brandy shaved her legs for this. Just so everyone's aware, everyone's on the same page. Brandy's freshly shorn legs are in attendance. Very good. Sammy, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Good morning from Tennessee. Realistic expectations for love? I'm hoping for somebody that can just be good, doesn't have to be great, just solid. I mean, yes, I think most people will kind of fall into that category in the sense of no one believes that the Green Bay Packers are about to find a third MVP-type quarterback in a row. The odds are just too great. But never tell me the odds. But yeah, no, I mean, expectations for love is that he continues to learn, develop, and grow. Because that's all he can do right now. And the best way to grow is to be out on the field, slinging it, working, playing. Interested to see those preseason games and what they look like. But for the most part, you know, he's just got to continue to develop and hunker down and work on everything the coaching staff is putting in front of him. What is he going to become? I have no idea. I'm rooting for the kid, though. I am 1,000,000,000% rooting for him. And I hope he shuts up a whole lot of people because, man alive, there are a lot of people who are already convinced this kid is a bust when he hasn't even taken a snap, which is kind of funny to me. Jeezy baby, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Guy Fieri, super chat. Okay, cool, man. Whatever you need to do. Guy Fieri burger on fire? Is this an ad? Should I get paid for this? I don't know. Well, I just did. You just gave me a super chat. Thanks. Follow Yosh on Twitter. Actions more than words, just like Yosh. Randy. Callum, that's an interesting question. How many single, I think you mean single game records, get broken in a 17-game season? I mean, I don't know, but you know things are about to get inflated yet again. I mean, it happened when they went from 14 games to 16 games, and they go from 16 to 17. It'll happen probably when they go to 18, which will probably happen sooner rather than later. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it will be an erosion over time. I don't think it'll be like this light switch thing. Do I think the starting inside backer for the Packers this season isn't on the roster yet? No, I don't think that, Patrick. I think they'll probably roll out there with what they've got. Maybe they pick up somebody depth-wise as the offseason goes along. I keep seeing Packers fans pining for, who is it, like KJ Wright or somebody. It's just not the type of move they're going to make. Again, maybe they sign somebody off a waiver wire. Maybe they make a low-level trade, but I'd be shocked if they made some headline-grabbing move at the inside backer spot. Kathleen, could I explain exactly what the star position is? Feels like I've done this like three times already. I kind of can. Essentially, it's the nickel spot. You know, it's the inside slot guy in the defense when you go from whatever's a 3-4 or a 4-3, when you take one linebacker off the field and you replace him with a defensive back, and he's usually predominantly in the slot. And because of that, he has to take on, you know, sometimes even ends, sometimes pulling guards. He's got to be a physical guy, but he's also got to be able to cover out of the slot, which traditionally features a lot more kind of a quick twitch, really fluid athletes that he's got to be able to handle in space. So he's got to be athletic. He's got to have loose hips. He's got to be strong to stand up against the run, et cetera. And he's got to be able to rush the passer. Because a lot of times, a lot of blitzes are designed to predominantly to try and free that guy and get him after the quarterback. So he's got to be able to do a lot. Sometimes teams have one specialized guy just for that. Sometimes teams will rotate guys in that position. But essentially, you know, we keep throwing around the term the star, and I know that's what Dom called it. And seemingly Joe seems to, I guess, go with that vernacular as well. But, you know, essentially it's just the nickel corner, really, is what it is. And to quote the great Brett Favre, that's all? That's it? Who gives a shit? I think sometimes people just like to disappear up their butts with terminology. But essentially, it's your nickel corner. TKM, what's up, man? You're at your post. Thanks for the super chat. Negs, I've been a fan since the 60s. Star, Favre, Aaron Rodgers, and more excited this year than ever. Remember the fall on this weekend. Pappies. Hope everyone observes the holiday as they see fit. TKM, thank you for your super chat. I'm right there with you, man. I am astounded. I'm unbelievably excited for this upcoming season. I really want the Packers to prove a lot of people wrong. And that's probably with Aaron Rodgers. So the star needs to be a star. He just needs to be able to do a lot. The best kind of I've ever seen at the position was Charles Woodson. When Woodson was in Green Bay, he started out kind of featured in that role, and he was freaking amazing. He did play boundary corner at times as well, but they utilized him inside a lot, and he was amazing. He was absolutely amazing. Kyle, thanks for the super chat. Would it surprise you if Rashawn Gary played more than Preston this year? No, it would not surprise me. However, I do think both will play extensively. They'll have a lot of kind of different packages and ways to get those guys on the field. I think they'll rotate them a lot. And that's something Joe Barry talked about yesterday. It's a good problem to have. There's a lot of talent there. But I do not think for a second that Gary doesn't kind of leapfrog Preston overall. Sorry, guys. I should get Olive a bulldog. You guys are crazy. What's the biggest thing Packers fans aren't talking about? Devontae extension? I don't know. Not in this year, Chad. I get asked about it all the time. The biggest thing they're not talking about, probably TJ Slayton, is the biggest thing they're not talking about. Sorry, dad humor. Can't help it. Can't wait to watch the quad father. Travis, oh my God, AJ Dillon trucking people. That is what I'm living for. I'm living for a physical brand of football where the Packers exert their will, led by AJ Dillon and his quads. I'm all in on that one. Dak Crispy Boy, thanks for that super chat. Hey, Nags, I so miss New York City. Have a slice of artichoke pizza and a 30-ounce Narragansett for me while simultaneously carrying the G. It's funny you say that. The artichoke pizza here in my neighborhood closed down during the pandemic. Really sad. I mean, not sad in the sense of like it was here forever. It was an institution. It had literally opened up a few years ago. But I did love their pizza, especially when I was stumbling home from the Let Love In. That shit was good. But at the Let Love In, I often have Narragansett. So I'll definitely do that for you. There's still an artichoke in the city, but that's hell and gone for me. So I probably won't be visiting it anytime soon, but I will definitely have that Gansett for you, buddy. Quadfather, I love that name. I love that there's like a battle online right now between Quadfather and Quadzilla. Good Lord, people fight about anything. What still sucks that we're not talking about it, Cheesehead TV? I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, that sucks with the website or that sucks with the team? I don't know. How much of an improvement do you expect on defense? They were top 10 last year and not number 10. That is correct. Jerry Gray mentioned that, the ranking yesterday when we talked to him. And I mean, he's fired up. He thinks they have the talent to be much, much better. We'll see. I mean, a lot goes into it. I think they have the talent. The history would suggest that first year, the transition, and they keep touting what kind of a small transition it is. I'm not so sure about that. But, you know, history would tell you, if you use it as your guide, that there are going to be some major hiccups year one implementing a new defensive scheme. So can they be? Sure. But I would suspect they'll hover around, I don't know, 12, 10, maybe 8, 9. That's my guesswork at this point. Oh, my goodness. Super chats aplenty. Deshaun Wham, what's up? Thanks for the super chat. I wonder if Brady knows that Rodgers is better. I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. Thanks for the super chat. Craig, thanks for the super chat. 12 hates management and is using his power to make management miserable before he returns. He does passive-aggressive better than he does play action. I don't know about that last part, but that first part is spot on. And management means Goody, by the way. Let's get that clear. Andrew, thanks for the super chat. Do you think we can get back to the days of when Matthews was ending Eagles quarterbacks' careers? Oh, man, don't wish that on anybody. I think that was the last time our D had attitude. Here's a beer on me, Nags. Thank you, Andrew. I'd settle for getting coaches fired. Remember when the Packers had that string? I think it was in 2009. Maybe it was 10, but they had that string of like 3 weeks in a row where the teams they played fired their coach the next day. The best one was when they played the Cowboys in Lambeau in prime time and just absolutely destroyed them. That was a game that Clay Matthews himself had a fumble recovery for a touchdown. Like he ran like 50 yards, TD place went nuts. And that was Wade Phillips' team, and Wade got fired, I think, on the plane ride home to Dallas. But I'm down with that. Yes, I want some attitude. And I do think the hiring of Joe Barry is in large part because of that very thing. I mean, they keep talking about how it's not that big a transition. They have a lot of guys who can do a lot of things. It shouldn't be that take that long to kind of implement what they want to do, blah, blah, blah. I tend to think Joe Barry is there to inject some life into the defensive side of the ball. Things had gotten really staid and kind of flat on defense. You know, Mike Pettine's forgotten more than any of us will ever know about defensive football, but there comes a point when you look at that side of the ball and there's just not a pop. There's not an energy. There's not juice, as the coaches like to say. And I think Joe is here, one, yes, obviously, to implement the scheme, but two, to inject some life on that side of the ball. Get guys playing with purpose. 11 hats to the ball, as Matt keeps trying to talk about, but so very rarely do we see on the field. I think that was a frustration for LaFleur, and I think Joe Barry's task is to, you know, give those guys some life and get them playing, maybe not carefree, but flowing to the football, lots of energy, guys rallying, a little more pop, a little more sizzle than we've seen in the last couple of years. I do not doubt for a moment that is the brief. Chris, thanks for the super chat. Wildy said the other night that Rodgers wanted Elliot Wolf as GM and is no fan of Russ Ball. Was that common knowledge? I don't recall hearing that. I'm trying to remember. I know Aaron liked Elliot. I don't know about if he wanted, like, it was his preferred GM choice, but that wouldn't surprise me. And if anyone would know, it'd be Wildy. As far as no fan of Russ Ball, I remember that, but what I remember in the context of what you're talking about there is that he was no fan of Russ Ball being a GM, being the guy who, you know, basically selected the roster, like non-scout money guy, what have you. I don't think that was a personal thing. I don't think that's a personality thing. I just think he didn't trust him to pick players, essentially. And if Rob Domofsky's reporting is to be believed, that's, you know, pretty spot on in regards to Russ making some of the questionable calls, like letting Micah Hyde walk, et cetera, that were made when Ted's health was failing towards the end of his tenure. You know, Rob has reported that Russ made that call and some others. So that would seem like a good call on Rodgers' part then. But yeah, the Elliot Wolf thing wouldn't surprise me. I don't know that directly, but the Russ Ball thing, I do remember, but in the context of didn't like him as GM. Again, not a personal thing, I don't think. But, of course, you'd have to ask Aaron. Nuclear Family, thanks for the super chat. Jared Cook's fumble changed everything. Do you think we were in this mess if we don't fumble and the Saints hold off the Bucks? Would have been good for us. I thought it the day, like the moment it happened, when the Bucks capitalized off that turnover, that changed the entire game. And I do think the Saints were on their way to a victory before that play. Now, who knows if they come up the Lambeau and do whatever they might do. Maybe the Packers have a little bit easier time of it again than they did against the Bucks. I would suspect probably. Man, coulda, woulda, shoulda. Ball bounces a certain way. That's football. That's why you love it. That's why you hate it. It's why we watch. That's the drama. No doubt about it. Andy, thanks for the super chat. Nags, what's the minimum level of performance we need to see from Jordan Love this year to feel confident about his future? I honestly have no idea. Like, what? Pick a metric. I mean, does it, you know, can he take a snap? Can he get through his reads? Can he throw a hitch route? Can he throw this? Can you gun the slant in there in rhythm? Can you throw a deep nine? Like, I don't know, man. Like, he's just got to run the offense. He's a young quarterback who hasn't played at all. If he comes out and doesn't trip over himself, I'm gonna be happy. You know. Again, I keep saying it, and people want to dismiss it, but it's a stone cold fact. Aaron Rodgers was looked very, very poor his first couple of years. And that was with full off seasons, full participation, and, you know, tons of reps, lots of time in training camp and preseason. And he looked, you know, like he was struggling. And I think that should be expected. And I fully expect Jordan to struggle. That's going to happen. It's going to get blown up into something it ain't, but it's going to happen. So, yeah, I just wanted to get out there, run the offense, get the reps in, keep learning. That's the expectation. Seth, thanks for the super chat. Worried about Aaron Rodgers phoning it in if he returns with no new contract, going the James Harden way, rocking a gut week one, or just throwing it away even more. Oh, that's hilarious. Rocking the gut is particularly hilarious if you read about the cleanse that he was on. Oh, my God. The cleanse he mentioned on the Kenny Mayne interview, Google that shit. Holy Mother Mary of God, no thank you. I'll be at the bar. Wow. Yeah, I don't think we have to worry about a gut in Aaron Rodgers, but phoning it in, come on. No, I don't expect that in any way, shape, or form. No. The reason he threw it away so much, et cetera, was because he was trying to get Mike fired. We all know that. And he's not trying to get Matt fired. He's a competitor. He wants to win. He's on a football field. He's playing to win. Nicholas, thanks for the super chat. Rodgers said it's about the people. He did indeed. But it's also about the people who are counting on their QB. Do you think he cares to lose some friends if he sits out? I think it's a calculated risk. I think most guys will understand. I think there will be some guys who are pissed. That's the nature of the beast. But I also don't expect him to sit out in any meaningful way. I think he'll take this summer. I think he'll be there for the start of camp. Maybe not even the first day of camp, but eventually he'll show up. He ain't missing 800. He ain't getting fined $860,000 for every single preseason game. That's three games, $860,000 for each game he misses. He ain't doing that. Robin, thanks for the super chat. One more good year and we struggle to keep Hackett. It's a possibility. It really depends on his interview skills, right? Get him in the room. I know he'd interviewed with Atlanta last year, but you know, I think there will always be kind of a, maybe not a stigma, but like a bit of a caution from ownership when they're talking to Hackett, because how much of that is him and how much of it is Aaron Rodgers? You know, anybody who comes out of this offense is going to kind of be tabbed with that a little bit. You know, look at Ben McAdoo. Ben McAdoo went to New York and got a head coaching gig, and here he goes. He got the Rodgers stamp of approval, and oh, he's a really good coach. He knows this offense. I'm going to implement McCarthy's offense, and it looked like garbage because it wasn't Aaron Rodgers. You know, Aaron papers over a lot of things, makes a lot of people look good. And that's not to say that Hackett's not a good coach, because I think he is. I have said, I've talked about it many times. The job he did in Jacksonville was exemplary. I think he brings a lot of really great creative, ideas and thoughts to the offensive side of the ball in Green Bay. It's just that Aaron Rodgers' shadow is very long. Lance, thanks for the super chat. If the sun sets and moon rises, does that mean Rodgers returns? It does indeed, Lance. It does indeed. What else we got? We got Kenneth Brown. Thanks for the super chat. Why is it such a big deal that Aaron Rodgers didn't show up to OTAs and no one is talking about the top five wide receivers not showing either? Kenneth, did you see the title of Packers Daily yesterday? Literally talked about it. So don't come up in here paying me $5 to tell me that I'm not talking about it. Everybody's talking. What do you mean no one's talking about it? Literally everybody's talking about it. Everybody's talking about it. Every human on this earth. My mother is talking about it, and she hates the Packers. Everybody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about it. My God, man. Read the internet. A nuclear family, thanks for the super chat. I wasn't in America yet when Rodgers got drafted. How was he viewed by draftniks? Similar to Love, high potential, but raw? He wasn't a sure thing, right? That's interesting you ask that, because there's been a lot of kind of revisionist history around that, because instantly when you talk about Rodgers in the draft, everyone talks about two things: the fall down to 24 being passed over by all those teams, and then he was supposed to go number one. Well, no, he clearly wasn't, because Alex Smith went number one. The media had him toe-to-toe, and the 49ers themselves had him toe-to-toe, but then clearly came out on the side of Alex Smith, and then 22 teams passed on the man. So if he's this great generational talent and these scouts are so convinced of his greatness, All those teams passed, including the Buccaneers, who desperately needed a quarterback, and they took Cadillac Williams instead, after John Gruden literally told Aaron Rodgers, if you're there at 12, we're going to take you, and then didn't. As for Love and the comparisons there, Rodgers was viewed as a much more finished product. There's no doubt about that. The Tedford thing, the stigma that came from all the Tedford quarterbacks going to the NFL and not having any success for the most part, that stuck on him for a good long while. But he was definitely viewed as a much more pro-ready prospect than Jordan was last year. I don't think there's any true scout, not some idiot with a Twitter feed, but real NFL scouts that viewed him as like anything but a incredibly talented, really high upside developmental project that you would definitely need to work. That's just facts. Like, he's, I don't think anyone thought of him as a guy that you could, start week one. He's not pro ready, so to speak, but anybody you talk to in the biz loves his ability, loves his upside. The ceiling is insanely high. It's just a question of, can you mold it? And that's what the Packers are going to try and do. Eric, thanks for the super chat. Did you see the clip of Joe Barry mic'd up yesterday from the Packers? Love his energy and how he talks with the players. I did, Eric. And yes, that, like we talked about earlier in the chat, that's 100% one of the reasons why he is here, is to give that side of the ball some life, some energy, some pep, pizzazz. Andrew, thanks for the super chat. The Cowboys went back to basics this week, and they basically sucked Collinsworth during that game. Wait, what? Didn't mean to imply anything by that comment. It was hard, completely ego hit. That's all I meant. Okay. Oh, my goodness. That was a journey, Andrew. Not even sure where we ended up, but it was a journey. Matt, thanks for the super chat. Does any part of the Rodgers drama realistically affect the job security of Matt LaFleur, or is it just hype from fans? There are people saying Matt LaFleur might get fired. Is that what you're intimating? Because that's absurd. The only thing that it really, if you want to talk realistically, affects Matt LaFleur's job prospects or tenure in Green Bay is if they lose a boatload of games over a number of years. And it's a hell of a lot easier to win games when Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback. So in that sense, yeah, if Aaron doesn't show up, that'll affect it. But as far as like it tainting him or like maybe like Brian and Mark decide to fire Matt. No, that's not happening. That's got nothing to do with nothing. Corey, thanks for the super chat. I submit that Aaron not showing up to OTAs actually helps Jordan Love and the Packers. About time that kid gets training camp. Does get him on the field. Be nice if the other wide receivers were there. But yes, it does get him working in the offense on the grass, which you got to love. No doubt about it. Javier, thanks for the super chat. Clay's TD against Dallas was an INT. AJ and Wood blocked Kitna's pass. That was right. It went up in the air. It was the Super Bowl season. It's such a fun game to watch after heartbreaks like the NFC Championship game. Yeah, no doubt about it. Love last year of college was not good. Correct, New York Finest. Go back and watch 2018, though, and he's fucking phenomenal. And that's the point. It's like Brett Favre when he came out, and everyone was like, oh, this kid's got all this talent. He fell to the second round because of, like, issues that his tape showed, blah blah blah. But if you went back and watched the year before, prior to his car accident, he was fucking amazing. It's not just about your last year in college. That is not how you're going to play in the pros. It's about projecting where you're going, forward movement. His last year in the college wasn't great. No, it wasn't. But he lost all of his weapons, completely different offensive line, completely different scheme, coaching staff, etc. There's context to this. So yes, no, his last year in college wasn't great. His second last year in college was pretty fucking great. But none of that matters. It's about forward movement, projecting where he's headed in this offense with the Packers. And I like his chances. That's just me. That's just something I'm into. All right, everybody. I got to get going. Can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day here on Cheesehead TV, Packers Daily. We're here Monday through Friday. Just a little programming note. There's a chance, probably a pretty good chance, that Packers Daily will be starting a bit earlier in the coming weeks. I'm going to be making some moves as far as working out of the home. I'm going to be start going back into the office a little bit more, going back to LiveX and the studio. So that's still to be solidified yet, but just be on the lookout. The time may change. I'm not quite sure yet how we're going to juggle that, but so want to give you guys heads up before it just kind of happens and you're like, where the hell is Nagler? Also, want to give a shout out to Aaron Jones. As you guys know, we have partnered with him for his youth pro camp. Aaron Jones Youth Football Pro Camp at aaronjonescamp.com. Head there for all your information. It's mid-July. It's a several-day youth football camp. You can use promo code CheeseheadTV to save 10%. Head to aaronjonescamp.com for all the information. Aaron Jones Youth Football Pro Camp in Green Bay, Wisconsin this summer. Aaron Jones is the man. All right. Thanks a lot, everybody. I will talk to you tomorrow morning. In the meantime, be good. Be good to each other. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Cheesehead TV. We're devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.